Well, good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Welcome to church. Glad to be here with you. Let me get my stuff together here. I was over there, had it all kind of spread apart there. Get your bulletins out, get your outline out as we continue our study in the book of 2 Corinthians. We're looking at chapters 8 and 9 is what we're doing with the main theme of being Christian giving. As Brian keeps bringing up, it is all grace bound. It is all tied up in the grace of God. So as we talk about Christian giving, it is based upon the grace of God. Today is part three of a, we're going to probably have five parts in this, but then I wrote, well, maybe it's part two of part two. For last week, we didn't finish up part two, and so we're going to finish it up this week. But whatever it is, it's the third time we're looking at this passage and the times that we're going to be in this. So open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. We'll be looking at those for the final time today. And as you find your place, let me encourage you with some things and just what Paul is doing here and what God in his word is doing to us. Paul is wanting us to, and I even want to say it this way, God is wanting us to. He's wanting us to see the saving and sanctifying work of grace in the lives of these people in the churches of Macedonia in relation to giving. Now, let me say that again as you find your place. What God is wanting us to see as through God's word here and what Paul is talking to us about is he wants us to see the sanctifying and saving grace of God at work in the lives of these people that are like you and me and the churches of Macedonia in relation to their giving. That's what he's wanting us to look at. And before we start and get into all that, I want you to think about something with me. Kind of help us set our mind on all this and get ready for the principles that God is going to teach us and lay out for us today. Let me ask you this question, and I want you to think about it. Is there anything greater than to see, to watch, and to witness the saving and the sanctifying grace of God at work in people's lives? Is there anything? Think about it for a moment. Is there anything greater than that? Is it greater than the greatest sunset? I know some of us here share some beautiful pictures of some sunsets at the beach and some beautiful scenery in their home and all those kind of things. And they're not greater than seeing the grace of God at work in people's lives, are they? I want you to think of your children and all that they do and all that they perform in and all the things that they might be in a play and they did a great thing. They might be in a show and do something. They may be in 4-H and showing their animal and do a great job. And as a parent, you get excited. Or maybe they're on the ball team and they're pitching or they're hitting the home run or they're singing the song or they're playing the piano. All of the things that, you know, that we would see and we say, wow, that was incredible. Look what my son or daughter did. And all of that is seeing the grace of God at work in people's lives greater than that? Absolutely, isn't it? Absolutely, that is greater. Even how about a birth of a baby? Absolutely incredible, the birth of a baby. I watched all three of my daughters be born. Held them right then, right at the moment, was you take your breath away. But to see the saving and sanctifying grace of God work in people's lives is much, much, much greater. It absolutely is. Paul's wanting us to see it. Whether the grace be at work in your children, seeing them discover the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, revealing to them the truth about themselves, that they need God to help them, to recognize the need of a Savior, then their need of His grace to shape how they live, or seeing and witnessing the grace at work in a young mom's life as God works to help her realize that how much of her attitude, how much of her actions are influencing her children, and for the sanctifying grace of God to help her with the things in her heart and her mind to change because she sees and witnesses that her children are being reflective upon her thoughts and her attitudes and her hope and her trust. Dad's the same thing. Is there anything greater than to see it in a marriage where two people and the saving grace of God bring them to deny themselves and lay their life down for the sake of the other one and become one the way God designed it? I mean, you could read Ephesians 5, 21, 22 through 31 there and read that over and try to get in that, but it's only the sanctifying grace of God that brings any of that really truly into our life, and we can witness it, watch it in a marriage. Or how about the sanctifying grace in a church family or a body of Christ where God's sanctifying work of grace is building relationships? I want you to think about that for a moment. Isn't it incredible how God builds relationships? You know, you get all these people that come together in a church, and God is wanting us to love and care and be involved in each other's lives, and here's how he grows our intimacy with each other: confession, repentance, and forgiveness. Well, gosh, why can't you just be a cool dude, cool people, and we'll just all get along? Because how God works by the sanctifying grace of God is through when we own up, forgive me, I didn't want need to do that. And I need to repent, I need to be a different kind of person. You stepped on my toes, you irritated me, I got bothered. That's real, right? And then we see God work in hearts of people, sanctifying grace. There's nothing greater to witness. Or when a person that's blind to the truth of Christ on the path of destruction, maybe far down that path, then the grace of God pierces the heart and life begins to be transformed in every way, where the scales are taken off their eyes and they see God and everything changes. I can describe it all day. We can talk about it a lot, but what Paul is wanting to do in the text, he's wanting us to see it. He's wanting us to witness it, to watch it. That's what he's talking about in the text, what he's wanting us to do. Paul said in verse 9, he told us that we already know intimately the saving and sanctifying work of grace in our lives, that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and his giving of himself and our faith in him, we have been made rich with new life, redeemed life, forgiveness, reconciled relationship with God, a transformed life filled with purpose, ever growing and ever changing through the sanctifying work of grace. We already know that one. Let me show you in a church in relation to their giving. He says, let me write it down for you to see that saving grace, that sanctifying grace work in the church in relation to how they give. That's what he says. That's what he said in 8:1. Isn't that what he said? In 8:1, he said this, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. He says, I want you to see it, make it known. I want you to witness it. I want you to see the grace that's at work in the lives of these churches in relation to Christian giving. That's what he said in verse 1. He wants us to witness it. That same sanctifying grace to work in the Corinthian church. God wants it to work in the Living Word Fellowship Church. You see, it's a work of grace. It's the effects of grace. We talked about that last week. Of God's saving and sanctifying grace. It's the motivation. It's the motivating of all Christian giving. We looked at that a lot. And then when we saw in chapter 8, verses 2 through 5, as we looked at last week, the first principle that we saw, it was generosity. As we saw their lives and the grace of God at work in their life, they overflowed in generosity. The Philippian church, the Thessalonian church, the Berean church were generous in their giving, beyond normal. We talked about that. Wasn't normal kind of giving. It was generosity because it's brought about, motivated by the work of grace. It's brought about by the work of grace. So what we do today is we pick up where we left off. That's to introduce us into where we're at. We're going to pick up and dig into the text and everything that was said there. And we're going to see some examples of grace, examples of giving, some principles of giving. But what I want you to recognize and always know that these all come out by the sanctifying work of grace in the heart of believers. This is where God's going. This is where he's working. This is what he's doing. And we're going to look at these principles. So let's read 1 through 8 again, pick up where we're at in our lesson, and we'll pick it back up with our outline, and we'll be looking at point 3 in our outline as we pick it up. Here Paul writes, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great deal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor or participation in the support of the saints, and this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. And verse 8, I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. Here Paul is just talking about the grace of God at work in their life, the sanctifying grace. First, it was, that's what motivates all of us in our giving of our time, talent, treasure, and God works in our life to be generous. And then now look at verse 2. Notice in verse 2, he says, in a great deal or ordeal of affliction, they gave generously. What he's saying is their generosity or their giving transcend their difficulty. Think about that with me for a moment. I don't need to lay out the details for you. There's a lot of details on the difficulty that was going on in these three churches and in that community and in that region and all of this. I'll just give you one thing so you can just tie to the whole ordeal of what he's talking about, that great ordeal of affliction. I'll just give you the one word, affliction. It means pressure. And remember, we looked at this word before. It's the pressure of like a grinding thing down on that's grinding down on grapes to make wine. And whether it be the challenges of life or the trials of life or the difficulties of life or illness or persecution or poverty or difficulty with people, whatever that is that just grinds down in this life, that is really true and happens and is going on in the world. God didn't save us from all of those things. Right in the midst of all of those things, God is at work by the saving and sanctifying grace of God in the work of these people while life is grinding down on them in the way it is, in the persecution, in the illness, in all of that it is. It's really real, you guys. What he's talking about here, it's in the midst of all that. And what had happened is their giving transcended all of that. It went beyond all of that. It didn't stop them from doing all of that. Their giving transcends their circumstance. That's incredible to look at. God's saying, look at the grace, you guys. See the grace of God at work in people's lives. Because I want to ask you this, what goes on in a heart and mind of a believer in Christ that even in the difficult circumstances of life grinding down on you, that the giving of oneself and time, talent, and treasure for others and God's kingdom purposes doesn't stop? Help me answer the question. What goes on in the heart and mind of a believer in Christ that even though life can be that, it doesn't stop. They're giving of themselves generously in time, talent, treasure to the things of God, to others in the work of God. What transcends that? What happens in a life? Embracing the grace of God's promise. Amen. Embracing the grace of God, knowing the truth of God, knowing that what God has done is saved a wretch like me, that I didn't deserve it, that I didn't earn it, that I could never buy it, that I'm not a good person. It's that Christ came to bring the grace of God through the love of God to rescue people that do not deserve it so we would know God. It's about embracing the true grace of God. That's what Paul is wanting us to see. Is that a people that will understand the true grace of God, that will embrace the transforming grace of God. God wants to change us for our good, for our best. What did Pastor Craig tell us? Oh, he'll pour that thing in his ear so he can actually hear and doesn't have to not hear later. But will he follow God's word? Will he let the sanctifying grace of God work in his life to change him, to follow something that is in his life that we know by the promise of God is for our good, but might cause a little pressure in this life? You see, it's always going to be wrapped in all of this, what Paul is teaching. For our giving to transcend whatever difficulty comes our way, let me ask you, is it more information that we need? No, it's not more information, is it? It's more of an intimacy with the truth that we have, isn't it? It's a more of an embracing of the truth that we know, a believing in Him, in it, and God, and that from salvation through eternity, all that I have, all that is mine, all that has come my way is because God's unmerited favor given to me. And that's the underlying sanctifying grace of God that changes our lives. God transcends difficult circumstances. The second thing in the text is giving is with joy. Look at verse 2. He says that in great ordeal of affliction, there abundance of joy. Now, we looked at abundance last week. Abundance, it's the noun form of the verb, to be overflowing. It's like overflowing a river. They had an abundance of joy in the midst of this. Now, I'm just trying to get the heart of God and what God has in store for us and for me in the text, and how these people had embraced the truth of God, and then they're in the midst of the circumstances they are in, and they have an abundance of joy. Anybody want an abundance of joy? It's usually tied to something in life that brings an abundance of joy, right? Something going right, something going perfect, something, which is not wrong. It's joyful for those kind of things. But these guys, in the midst of all we're talking about, have an abundance of joy. Look at chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. And I want you to capture how they had an abundance of joy. Well, when we get to the harvest part of it, when we get to the third part, this is going to really tie in all together. But look at chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. Look what he says. He says this: each one of us, each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. Listen, our giving is tied to what God has purposed in our heart, what our heart and our relationship with God is about, what we're understanding about God and what God's showing us about him. And in our heart, just in a relationship with God, our giving is that. It's not under compulsion. It's not under, if you don't, somebody's going to walk around and poke you in the side. Or grudgingly and like, oh, you know, grudgingly, right? He doesn't want it to be that, right? That's not what God wants to do. He wants a harvest in our life. And he says this: for God loves a cheerful giver, a giver that has joy. And look at verse 8, and God is able to make all the grace abound to you. That's the key right there, folks. It's the grace of God. You embracing the unmerited favor of God that's in your life, and you understanding what God has done, and you embracing the truth of Christ. When you understand and you're understanding the abundance of grace that God has brought into your life, the abundance of joy gets tied to your giving. That's what Paul is pointing out. That's what he's talking about. I'm still sticking to the stage, but I think I'll stay up here today. I might not walk down as much. You know what's going on. Their embracing of God's grace at work in your life brings the joy of giving. You know that to be true in your own life. You be true in your own family. When you guys embrace that God's grace, his sanctifying grace, unmerited favor, undeserved, and couldn't earn it, and his sanctifying, changing our heart and mind, when it happens in your family and you guys be generous with something or you give your time. I can think of examples that I've watched. I won't pull people out, but they've went and taken care of somebody's home. They fed their animals. They've different things. I've seen it within the church. And what happens is their family, the sanctifying grace of God starts to bring a joy to them of them giving of their time, talent, and treasure. It happens because when you embrace that, that's what God does in a life. Because he is, look at verse 8 again, and God is able to make all the grace bound to you. Because God wants this in our heart and mind. These are all connected, aren't they? This is always going to be connected. Giving is not hindered by poverty. Look at verse 2. Look at the whole verse. This is what we look at. That in a great deal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed into wealth of liberality. They overflowed in the freedom to give generously, even though they had a little, they were in poverty. You know they're capturing the grace of God, right? That's a difficult thing for any of us, is it not? To overflow and the freedom to know in your mind that you can just give, even though you have very little, to the work of God, to the ministry of God, to meet needs, trusting in God. They had a wealth of singleness of mind and heart. We looked at that last week. To know that God, who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:10. To know in your heart that by the grace of God, God is going to provide what we need. God is going to give us bread for food. God is going to supply. If we are generous with the things that God has given us, we don't have to worry about and be all messed up about that. If this is what God has planned in our life and we're following him, he's going to provide for us. And man, he is going to bring a harvest in our life, in my wife's life, in my kids' life, in my grandchildren's life, in our life as we live this, a harvest of righteousness. I want that harvested in my life. It's better than almonds, isn't it, Craig? He's a little wishy-washy there. But it's absolutely better than any produce of this ground. And see, so Paul is wanting us to learn and see and understand as we're going through this that, yes, we want to learn the principles of giving, but what we want to learn is the life of sanctifying grace to embrace, where God changes a life to where this becomes full of God in what we do. You see this when you go to the ministries in Mexico. You go down there, here we come, we have more than enough. We got our fancy Suburbans, and we all have money in our pocket, and we all got great food, and we pack in our suitcases all this wonderful stuff that we need to be down there, or we won't survive. And then we get down there and to a bunch of people that have nothing. And then what do? They give to us generously and joyfully with everything they have out of their poverty. They don't think anything about it. And we come home and thankful that we didn't starve too much while we were there. Not that we're bad, and not that we're, God's at work in every place and every bit of our life. And you go down there and you recognize that, just how much they're grateful for each thing, because it's capturing the grace. It always will be about capturing the grace. Let me encourage you today. You don't need more information. It's good to have information. It's good to go through the Word of God. It's good to study the Word of God. We're supposed to. We need to. But the church, the body of Christ, me, my own relationship with God, I don't need more information. I need the more embracing of God's truth that I have, and let His sanctifying work in my life. And then as I go on, I'll learn more, I'll grow more. But there's a thing in our life that we can get more information and it does us no good. You know what? You can know as much as God would ever want one human being to know, but if you don't embrace the God that's giving it, it's not a bit of good. It fleshes out in our daily life. It fleshes out on how we are with each other. It fleshes out in how we care about other things. It fleshes out by our generosity. It really does. Paul continues, giving is proportionate, sacrificial, and voluntary. I'm going to get through all these principles today. I'm going to celebrate. Look at verse 3 with me. All three are there. He says this. Now remember, he's wanting us to see the grace, the sanctifying grace in these people in relation to their giving. He says this, verse 3, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. All three are there. According to their ability, proportionate, that's what it was, to what God had given them. We all have resources that we've been graced with. Each and every one of us do here. Each and every one of us have been graced by the Lord Jesus Christ and God. Everything you have is a grace. Nothing is what you've earned. You can work hard and do the things, and God honors that and all of that, but everything is a grace because the Word of God says that. Your ability, your talents, your mind, your ingenuity, your skills, your opportunities, your resources, whatever it is, it's from Him. And for some, a few dollars is their ability to give. That's between them and God and what's going on and what they have and what God's provided. The world is in all different places and all of that, and it's in relational. That would be what their ability is. To others, tens of thousands of dollars is according to being proportionate what God has given them. That's between them and God. That's between God and a relationship with them. There is no set amount. There is no set percentage. That was the Old Testament principles. That's the Old Testament teachings about all that. And so God has it about relational, and this is all about relationship and understanding the grace of God and being generous with what God has given, because everything that I have, every single thing, the way I think, the way I look, the way I stand, the way I understand, the gifts that I have, the few that they are, and some of them are going away quickly, but they're all from God. And by the grace of God, I have all of those. And God says, what do you do with all that I've given you? That's what it is. It's in our heart. It's in our relational. And that's what it's all about. That's what Christian giving is all about. It's about that. It is proportionate. And it's sacrificial. We'll get into stewardship of all of that next week. It's all in the next one. How are to be stewards of what God has given us. But it's to be sacrificial. It's right in the text. For I testified according to their ability and beyond their ability they gave. Sometimes it's just about sacrifice. It's just about giving more than you can give because God asks you to give it. Now, I'm not just talking about treasure. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's the gifts, the talents that you have that you just lay out there and say, well, this doesn't seem to fit, Lord, but I know you're asking me to drive down and go spend some time with here, right here, but I'm going to do what you want me to do. See how relational it is? Because you can't check it off on a mark. You can't mark it down and say, well, I gave that. You can't do that because God will just speak to your heart and say, you need to go talk to that person. You need to call them on the phone. You need to be participating in this because God is at work in your life by sanctifying grace and in their life by sanctifying grace. And we're surrendering our lives to that. We're going to get to that in a moment. So sometimes it's sacrificial. And then he says it's voluntarily. That's got to be relational with God. They gave of their own accord. It's voluntarily. It's you and God in relationship to his leading in your Christian giving. And by the sanctifying grace of God, he'll take care of what God is wanting to take care of. This church as a whole lives these principles: generous, joyful, transcends difficulty, giving proportionate to what God has given or supplied, sacrificial and voluntary. Now, I don't know anything specific about that. I'm not supposed to know. But God allows me to see the heart of the body of Christ. He lets me to see the people in the church. And I'm just glad to be a part of a church family that is capturing this grace at work in our lives. I'm just grateful. For verse 4 is my favorite verse in the whole thing. Listen to what it says. It's a because in this section, in the next verse. This is the grace that we have captured. Giving is a privilege. Look what he says. Begging us with much urging for the favor, our participation in the support of the saints. Listen, I know the other side really, really well. The word favor in the text is the same word translated grace, the grace to participate in God's word. I know the other side of that, that my life was about participating in the work against the work of God. I lived it for a long time, 33 years. I participated not in what God was doing. I didn't participate in what was going on in this existence, in this universe that God was doing. I was opposing it. Every non-believer is. Everybody that isn't saved is. That's what's going on in the world. That's what it is. And by the grace of God, God brought me into the kingdom of God by his saving grace, saved me, brought me in, and allows me to participate in what God is doing. And it's a privilege, period. He's the mass majority of the world, is it? And don't even know it. God has brought you in into the church age. God has saved you by his sanctifying grace and by his saving grace and is sanctifying you and changing your life because God is at work in the church, in the work in this time of life that he predestined before he created it all for us to participate in what God is doing here in this world at this time, and Christ will return and he will end that time that God is doing it that we are in right now, and it's a privilege to be in that time. Period. So Christian giving is a privilege. It's an absolute privilege. No matter what it is that we give, giving's a privilege. And giving's an act of worship. It is. It's an act of worship. Giving's an expression to God, your honor and adoration toward him. I know I'm kind of moving fast, but all these are flowing together. And this is what God is saying about these people. I want you to see the grace of God in their life. So, you know, they gave graciously and generously, motivated by God's grace. And they transcended the difficulty that was in their life. They still gave to meet the needs that was going on. And their giving was full of joy. And their giving was not hindered by that. They didn't have much. And they overflowed in a wealth of generosity. And it was proportionate to what they had, but even sacrificial to what they had. But it was voluntary from their heart. And they understood the privilege because giving is an act of worship. Look at verse 5 with me. And this not as we expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. Stop there. I want you to write something down. This is good. When you read that, they first gave themselves to the Lord. Do you think first in time? Well, we first in time, we give ourselves to the Lord, then we give ourselves to the... That doesn't mean in time. That means in priority. Listen, the greatest act of worship that any of us can do is that as a priority, we give ourselves to the Lord each and every day. Come on, you guys, write that down and think about that. Each and every day, that our first priority, this is what it is. that by the will of God, what God is doing in our life, that we say, I just give myself to the Lord. What's Romans 12:1 say? Let me get up here and read it, because I didn't memorize it. But by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's the first priority of these churches, and that's what he says. And this we not expected, but they first gave first in priority themselves to the Lord. They gave themselves wholeheartedly to the Lord, and the giving financially flowed out of that as worship. Just like praise and prayer and obedience and love and hope and all the things that flow out of our lives as worship, it's first priority of giving ourselves to the Lord, all of it. Here I am, Lord, by the mercy of a God, presenting you, me, myself, and all that I have as a holy sacrifice acceptable to you as worship. You do that in your heart and every day as this church does. God, by his sanctifying grace, will work in our lives to where our worship of praise and prayer and obedience and love and encouragement and giving just flow. And that's what Paul is wanting us to see, the sanctifying grace of God at work in their life. So giving is motivated by grace, generous, transcends difficult circumstances, is with joy, not hindered by poverty, is proportionate, sacrificial, voluntary, a privilege, and an act of worship. That's what he wants us to see, by the sanctifying grace of God. Now, next out of verse 5, it says this, and this is a little difficult. You might go, what? Giving is in submission to pastors. Look at verse 5 and 6, and this is what Paul says. And this, not as we expected, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work of well. Let me tell you what he's not saying. He's not saying pastors tell you to give and you're to obey. That's not what he's saying. You can all go, praise God, amen. That's just a good one, God. Okay. That's never been a principle of God. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about giving to meet the need in the Jerusalem church. That's what he's talking about. Paul, Titus, and Timothy, get this, shared with the Corinthian church way back that there was a need and that they believed God wanted them, used them by the grace of God, for them to be privileged to give to the need in Jerusalem. He shared it with them. He told them about it. Those three pastors. This is a need we believe God wants you to meet. The Corinthians began to take a collection up on that. That's in 1 Corinthians. And then what happened? They got sidetracked. They got side-railed. The Corinthian church, false teachers came in, started teaching, oh, don't listen to Paul. He's just a slanderer. He's just trying to manipulate you. And they got all side-railed in their relationship with God and God's truth and God's word. And so Paul had to be patient and work with them and go there. And then they wrote all these letters and they talked about everything. And then in chapter 7, when we went over that, it all got reconciled. Repentance happened, and they worked it all out. Now Paul says, all right, we sent you Titus. Okay, let's pick back up what we were doing. The pastors say this, pick back up with what we shared you about. It's like this. It's like this. Last year, we shared with you that we wanted to build a building down in Mexico. The elders, the pastors here, presented it before the body of Christ. Listen, we don't just present anything to the body of Christ. We just don't say, oh, here's a good thing you guys need to give to. Here's another good thing you need to give to. Here's another good thing. Because everything that we would present before the church, we're saying that God has spoken to our heart, and he's saying God wants to include Living Word Fellowship in the resources of providing that. That's why we're very, very careful with what we put before the body of Christ, before the church. That's what Paul is saying here. And the church body, the church people, are submission to elders, are the pastors are presenting something that we truly understand in our heart and mind are from God. And God is asking us and leading us to be a part of. Let's just take the refurbishing of the church, that we got the carpet up and that we're doing all that. It's just not a good idea. It's good stewardship to take care of our building, but it's just not a good idea because it's a little beyond just putting a new carpet in and painting. Because God has spoken to the hearts of the leadership here of the pastors, and God is leading us to do this. What for? Why are we going to put a little wood floor down and put up some things? Because we want it beautiful? That's true. But see, God's leading us because we're carrying on the work of ministry, the work of service, Ephesians 4:12, in the building up of the body of Christ. It's for the building up of the body of Christ. You build up the body of Christ two ways. You grow the saints and you win the lost. That's how you grow. That's how you build up the body of Christ. It's in the work that God wants us to do. We're convinced of that. It's on our heart. We present it with the church the way we went about it. We already had it in the accounts, but what if we didn't and we presented it before you? We really believe that this has got in our heart on how we're going to go the work forward. Now listen to this. If it's not for that reason, to be building up the body of Christ, salvation, sanctification, it's wrong. If it's for us and our comfort, it's wrong. We would never want to present, no way to present to you, that for you to give and say, this is what God is saying we want to give to, and it's not for the work of service. It's not to build up the body of Christ. Never. See, that's all Paul's saying there. The pastors had presented to them that this is what God wants us to do. Now let's get back into it. So giving is in submission in circumstances as like that to how God is leading the pastors of the church to present before the body what we want to give to. It's a good place for an amen. Make me feel better. Yeah. Last two. Two more. Sometimes my notes make me just laugh. I wrote in my notes, I can just be honest with you, this is good, isn't it? Last two. Last two are God's appeal to our heart today. The last two are God's appeal to our heart to grab hold of the sanctifying grace of God at work. We saw what God has done in the Macedonia church, and now Paul writes to the Corinthian church with an appeal for it to be in their heart. And he gave two things. First one, giving is in concert with Christian virtues. Look at verse 7. He said this. But just as you abound in everything, abound in faith. I'm adding abounding there because it goes to each one, and I want to read it that way so you see it that way. But just as you abound in everything, because you abound in faith, and you abound in utterance, and you abound in knowledge, and you abound in all earnestness and love that we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. Giving is just another Christian virtue. That is incredible. It goes along with abounding in faith. It goes along with abounding in utterance. That means abounding in the word of truth. It means standing on the word of truth. That's what that utterance means there. And abounding in knowledge, that's the ability to apply the truth to the issues of life. Abounding in earnestness, that's spiritual passion. Abounding in love here is self-sacrifice. We inspired in you by preaching and teaching that you would abound in love, and that's the giving of yourself and self-sacrifice. So the Christian virtues, now let me ask you this. Do you have these in your life, and is God by his sanctifying grace bringing these stronger in your life? Do you have faith, belief, trust in God? Amen. That's a good word to say there. Yes, we do, Pastor Ken. Do you have standing on the word of truth becoming in your life by God's sanctifying grace that you're learning to stand on the word of truth, that you're abounding in that? Absolutely. Applying those truths in life circumstances, that's what it means to abound in knowledge. That's what he's talking about. Boy, I'm wanting the sanctifying grace to help me apply the truths in my life with a spiritual passion inspired to love others. Those virtues, are those going on in your life? He said that they are. This one is too. It's in concert with Christian virtues. It's in concert. When you embrace the grace of God, it's in concert with the same ones of believing and trusting in God and standing on the word of truth and believing in those truths that apply to our life with a passion to love others and love God. This one is just one of those virtues. You see how much false teaching, you see how much garbage, how much in the world, how much our own heart gets away of that, right? Because how many of us would just say, oh, Christian giving is just another Christian virtue. It's a chore. It's a battle. It's a rip out of my heart. It's what do I do? What do I don't do? I don't know what to do. It seems like, oh, what's happening? Am I preaching? It's a Christian virtue. Do you pray to God that you would grow in your faith and trust and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to stand on God's word in the midst of whatever's going on and whatever's happening in your life and apply God's truth in the midst of the turmoil and the pressure and the I don't know and to have spiritual passion to love God and love others in the midst of everything. And Lord, and I pray that my generosity with what you've given me would be a virtue of me. Paul put it right in there. That's where he put it, right on in. That's what it was. That's incredible. I want God to work all that out in me. I don't like being confused and worried and all of that. It's all a gracious work of God in you and for you to abound in. That's the appeal of the heart to every believer. And then he says this, forgiving is a proof of love. Look what he says next. Verse 8, I am not speaking this as a command, but proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. That's a great verse. Paul says, I'm not commanding it here. But as proving through the earnestness of others, that's the spiritual passion of others, the sincerity of your love also. God's not commanding us here. He's not commanding for you or me to give. What he's saying is, he's sharing with us so we will follow the spiritual passion of others that have gone before us, and that we would exemplify and express the love of God for, or the love for God that we have and for others, and that God has manifested in us by our giving. Let me read you that again. This is what these words say. God's not commanding us here to do this, for you and me to give, but to follow the spiritual passion of others that have gone before us. Here's the Macedonia church that went before the Corinthian church, and these churches went before us. To follow the spiritual passion of others that have gone before us and exemplify or express the love for God and others God has manifested in us by our giving. We'll close with this. Let me have you write a passage down, have you read this later. But a foreshadowing of everything that we've been taught here, look at 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 20, and read that today as what we've learned here today. But I'm going to end with this. How did God express his love for you? What would you say? How did God express his love for you? Jesus Christ, right? Right, we looked at that. Jesus gave motivated by grace, didn't he? His greatest motivation was grace, unmerited favor, right? Generously, right? Amen? Jesus gave motivated by grace generously, right? He gave him his whole self to what God was doing. Nobody made him. Nobody forced him. He chose by the grace of God, manifesting the love of God, and gave. It's no different for me or you. Pastor Ken calls our giving a love offering because that's actually what it is. It's a love offering. Just like God, when he gave Jesus Christ, motivated by the grace of God, he gave generously all he had. Nobody made him, forced him. He chose by his own heart, by the grace of God, to manifest the love of God. Our giving is no different than that. None at all. For God to use you with what he's given you, for you to be generous in what God has given you, to manifest by the grace of God, by the sanctifying grace of God, to work in our lives, to manifest the love of God through the body of Christ as we do the work of ministry. We're just doing the same thing Christ did in our Christian giving. It's an incredible passage. Next week, we'll look at the next section, look on stewardship. And then the following week, we'll get to the harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and for your word to us and for all that's in here. And we dug a little deeper today. We thank you for that. We thank you for speaking to us in our heart. Father, I want to thank you for the grace that is abounding in the hearts of the body of Christ I belong with. None of us are perfect. I'm not saying that. None of us are. Well, some might be wonderful, but we're yours. And we're embracing your sanctifying grace. For we want you to use us in the life of our spouse, in the life of our children, in the life of our family, in the life of our community, in the life of the lost. And we understand embracing you and your truth and your unmerited favor in our life to change us, to grow us, to bring us to your kingdom, to rescue us, is a major part of what all this is about for us to receive. And we understand that that's a challenge. We understand that it's difficult. We understand that we don't want to, We understand at times we do want to. We get it, Lord. We know that it's your work in our life. And that's why it's grace. None of us earned it. You just give. So we thank you for who you have brought us to be a part of. We would ask you, Lord, to work in our heart to encourage, to help this work of you in each one's lives. We'd ask you, Lord, to bring to our heart where we might need to confess, where we might need to repent, or ask or seek or give forgiveness, because we really don't want anything in our relational aspects to hinder what you are doing. Help us, Lord, to really manifest what you have done for others to see Christ. We thank you and praise you for our gathering together to worship you today, Lord. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We are dismissed for this morning.